Welcome to CWH in our third program in the series on Men of the Bible. Today's message from Pastor Salem, Samuel, noblest man in the Old Testament, speaks to the life of Samuel and what we can learn from it. We hope this message will comfort you and give you hope and peace.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really got a great message today. It's about Samuel, godly Samuel, one of the noblest men in the Old Testament. And if you don't like Samuel, brother, there's something wrong with you. So be sure to just stay with us. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and so I just share some of them with you, and then maybe more of you'll write. We get about 100 letters a day, and so we're just happy. We read every letter we get. Now, not all the letters have a long story in it. Sometimes it's just a check or something like that. But if it's a letter, we read it every time. Well, here's from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. I watch the Christian Worship Hour every week, and Pastor said, ask the Lord how much to give. And I said, maybe a little less. God said, no, I know how much you can give. There's a sermon right there. God says we're to give at least 10%. And if we have a lot of income, we're told in Corinthians, give as God has prospered us. And so 10% needs to go to the Lord. And you can read it in Matthew 23, verse 23, where Jesus says, a tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, when I say he'll tell you, I don't say there's an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice. I never had a vision, a great vision. I wish I had. I could brag about it. But you can just pray, Lord, what should I do? You'll just know in your heart. You'll get a peace. You'll know. Here is Newport Richey, Florida. Please accept this note of thanks for personally taking my telephone call several days ago. Thanks, too, for your words of encouragement as I recommitted my life during our conversation. And so here's a man that he called in. I prayed with him, and he prayed to recommit his life to the Lord. I've talked to people that have prayed to accept Jesus. They wanted some help accepting Jesus. I prayed with them and helped them as they prayed to accept the Lord over the telephone. That's just fine. And you can get, I'm going to be glad to do that at any time. And so we just rejoice here as this man is born again. Here is Cheyenne, Wyoming. I sold some vacation time back so I could have some extra cash to pay stuff. So I'm sending extra on tithe to you. Well, there's again, the Lord, tithe is the Lord's, and this man is being faithful to the Lord. You know, sometimes people say, well, you don't know how poor I am. I don't know how poor you are, but I'm going to tell you about the Depression days. I'm a child of the 30s, the Depression days, and we were the time we didn't have a stamp. But my mother, if she had $1, one dime went to the Lord, and then she took it out for the Lord first, and you can do it. And I know I'm not going to say it's easy, and I'm not going to say you go to hell if you don't do it. You'll go to heaven if you trust Jesus no matter what you do. If you accept Jesus, you go to heaven. But you ought to give a tithe. That's the way God is prospered. That's the way he helps his work, finances his work. Now, here's one more letter in Moseley, Montana. And listen to this. I enjoy your service so much. As a little boy, I loved Jesus too. I grew up and life happened. I strayed and sinned. I have taken our Lord into my heart and have been so blessed. Lately, he has guided my every move. We live way out in the Missouri Breaks of Montana. It's almost impossible to get to church, so your program is a wonderful answer. Thank you, and may God bless you and your ministry with God's love. And so, well, I tell you, some of these people do live out in the breaks, and they live out in the sticks, and they live out way out yonder. And when I was a child, we were in western South Dakota, and we lived so far out in the sticks, and you won't believe this. We lived so far out in the sticks that the sun set before it got to our house. It's terrible. And so here's some people, they can't go to church. So because of the distance and all of that, and in the wintertime is especially bad. Well, we are all gathered all over the world. And I know some people live in the jungles and some live in the cities and some live in the prairies. And all over the world, when we have this, you just tune us in and together we worship Jesus together. We gather at the foot of Jesus, at the throne of God, and worship Him and draw strength and help. And so with this, we're just so happy about that. And by the way, we sent some literature to them, and we have a little paper that we put out. You can jot this down, and I'll give the address at the close of the service. It's called The New Song. And it's a Bible study. And this month, the Bible study is on 7 reasons why I know I am going to heaven. And every reason is a scripture. It's not just something that I thought up. It's scripture. 7 reasons I know I'm going to heaven. And so you just ask for the new song. We'll send it free and postpaid. You ought to charge for it, but we're so good-hearted, we'll just send it free. Well, Samuel, godly Samuel. Samuel is the greatest and noblest man in the Old Testament. And he was a son of Elkanah, a pious Ephraimite. His mother's name was Hannah, a very godly woman. Hannah had long been childless, so it was her prayer that she might be given a son. Because for the Hebrew women, there was a terribly sadness for them if they didn't have a child. Because Hebrew woman prayed for children, because they're praying that through their bloodline, maybe the Messiah would eventually come. And so to be childless was for a pious Jewish woman, it was a catastrophe to be childless. So Hannah makes this a matter of prayer, and she beseeches God to give her a son. The fact that Hannah went to Jehovah God shows her faith and trust in God. And Hannah promises, and she tells God, if God will just give me a child, I will dedicate him to God's service. And she promised as soon as the child was weaned, she said, I'll take him to Shiloh at the temple there, and I'll dedicate him so that he'll be a Nazarite, and he will serve him as a priest, and so that he can minister in the Lord's house. And so it was that God in his great mercy allowed Hannah to become pregnant and have a little boy. Hannah names her precious little son Samuel. The name means a name of God or a godly name. It may have been a part of the sentence that Hannah spoke when the baby was born. May have been a sentence like, I ask for him a godly name, or I have asked him of the Lord. So Samuel is prayed for long before his birth. He's prayed for. And now God in his mercy and grace and love has given Hannah this little boy. Well, Hannah is true to God. And so when he was weaned, Hannah took him to Shiloh, to the temple, to serve God, just like she promised. And just how old Samuel was, we don't know. Some say he was 2 or 3 years old. Some say he was 12 or 14 years old. It's probably somewhere in between that numbers. But he was a very young lad when she took him. So she takes her little son to the temple, and she formally dedicated him to God's service. So the little child Samuel is left at the temple with the priest. The priest's name is Eli. Not much is known of Eli. He was a pious old man, and he was almost 90 years old. But he had 2 wicked sons, and they also served as priests in Shiloh. The sons' names were Hophni and Phinehas. And these 2 sons were of godly Eli were about as low down and wicked as anybody could be. And they were so bad, they were so terrible, that God says that he's going to judge him if he doesn't discipline those boys and straighten those boys out. So this is the situation. Hannah left her little son Samuel, and Samuel becomes a servant then to the aged Eli. And he opened the doors of the temple. He closed the doors of the temple. He did chores around there, whatever Eli needed. And every year without fail, this dear mother would come to the temple to worship. And when she came, she always brought a little coat that she had made. And every year she came, the coat was a little bigger, until it fit a full-grown man. Just when it took place, we do not know. But we know that while Samuel was a little boy, God spoke to him in the middle of the night. Three times Samuel hears someone calling his name, and he goes to the old priest, Eli. Now Eli is about 97 years of age, and he has failing eyesight. And the third time he goes and tells Eli about it, Eli, the old priest, said, "When that voice comes again, if it comes again, say this, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And that became Samuel's motto for life, because whenever God told him to speak anything, he would speak the message. And some of the messages he had to preach, teach, and take and deliver were tough and hard, as we're going to see in just a few minutes. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And so then the judgment came, and God says to tell Samuel, tell Eli. He says, "Samuel, tell Eli that judgment is going to come upon your two wicked sons, and it's going to be because of all their sins, and because you haven't straightened them out and kept them, tried to do anything about it and brought them into right. I'm going to take their life, and it's going to be a terrible thing." God tells Samuel, he says that in the night, "You go and tell Eli this message." And as hard as it was, you can just imagine the next morning when Samuel gets up and he's opening the gates and he's doing all of the rest. Old Eli, the old priest, knows there's something in that boy's mind that is keeping from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. What does he say? What did the Lord say?" And here it is, Samuel, he's a boy. He says, "God says that the priest is going to be taken from you and your two sons are going to be put to death." And Eli, this is what he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth to be good." So Samuel grew to be a young man, and he grew up in stature before the people of Israel. And God let the people of Israel know that he was to be the next priest, because we're told in 1 Samuel 3, verse 20, "And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." And so he grows to manhood. Well, then there comes a battle. God is going to send his judgment now. So he sends the Philistines. And the Philistines come and they make judgment. They make a war against Eli and the Israelis. And 4,000 men are left dead. And then the Philistines retreat. And Israel is stunned. And they don't know what to do. And so they decided they're going to go to battle again, because the next time they come to battle, they're going to take the Ark of the Covenant with them, take it out of the temple and take it with them. They were superstitious. And they thought, well, this will help us, so that God will help us if we have the Ark of the Covenant. But in the next battle, 30,000 Israelites were killed, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and Hophni and Phinehas were slain. A crushing defeat. So then a messenger returns from the battlefield with the devastating news, and the whole city breaks out in weeping and wailing. And whereupon Eli, hearing the uproar, calls for the messenger. The messenger arrives. Eli is now 98 years old. The messenger tells Eli that the Philistines had a great victory over Israel, that his sons Hophni and Phinehas are dead, and that the Ark of the Covenant has been taken away by the Philistines. And then this is what we read after Eli hears this message. "And it came to pass, when he had made mention of the Ark of God, that Eli fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke and he died. He was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And so Eli dies and his sons die. And now Samuel comes on the scene. And we're told the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. So God is using this man now, and he's going to be the priest in Israel. And so the first thing then it's the strangest thing in the world, but Samuel had two sons, and those sons were wicked, Joel and Abijah. And God said, because they're so wicked, we don't want any more prophets. We want a king. And they tell Samuel to anoint Saul to be their king. And so Saul becomes the first king of Israel, but he's headstrong, he's vain, he's self-willed, he's selfish. And as a result, God rejected Saul's leadership. And because Samuel loved Saul, He had to go to Saul, and God said, you tell Saul, he's going to lose his sons and he's going to lose his life. I'm going to take it from him. That was a hard message for Samuel to do, because Samuel loved that King Saul. He mourned for him as long as he lived. But Samuel does just as God tells him, and he goes and tells Saul, this is what's going to happen. And then you have these sad words. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. And so this then, God has, Saul is going to die. He's going to go into, he just knows that there's a premonition. He just has a feeling that something's bad or is wrong. And he's going to go into the throne. He's going into battle. And so then what he does is he says, what am I going to do? I don't have Samuel. What can I turn? I don't know where to look and where to find anyone. And so he says, I'll go to Endor. There's a witch in Endor. And that's where he went. And the witch calls and she says, well, you want some help. Who do you want me to call up? And you would think that he'd say Moses or one of some of the great leaders. But no, Saul says, call up Samuel. And God's, there he is. He's on his death. He's going to die the next day in this terrible battle, but he doesn't turn to God. So you have to be very careful, my friends, because God tells us he wants to be first in our life. And when we put other things ahead of him, we can get off of that beaten path. We can stray away, and God is going to punish sin every time without fail. So Samuel is true. Samuel always had the center of his life was God. That's all he lived for, was to listen to God. Nothing else counted with Samuel. He was always seeking God first. And isn't that what Jesus said when he came? When some centuries later he came and Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, that was true. God was always first in Samuel's life. And my dear friends, we must live in that same fashion. We must think always upon God's name. What would please the Lord? What would Jesus do in this situation? How can I honor God in these things? We must be always conscious of his presence and know that he is there. And you remember what he says in the New Testament, pray without ceasing. And that says we always ought to be close to Jesus. We always have him always in our minds and in our thoughts, always so that he's just a word away, a prayer away. Pray that he will be, that just as, it's just like drawing breath. It's just as plain as drawing breath is thinking about God and loving God. And that's what Samuel preached. He practiced what he preached. And he said, he told Israel, turn not aside from following the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Follow the Lord closely. Never deviate. Never turn from the back pathway. And that's what he's calling us today. He's saying, I want you to come to me. I want you to accept him as your personal Savior. I want you to have Jesus Christ in your life. And having Christ in your life, you need to live for him and make him the head. Seek ye first. And God says in the commandments, thou shalt have no gods but the one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so he's calling us to love him. And some people say, well, I don't love Jesus. And I don't love Jesus because, well, because I'll tell you why you don't love Jesus. You don't love him because you don't know him. If you knew Jesus Christ, you would love him and you would serve him. And the longer you know Jesus, the longer you'll love him. I walked with Jesus. I've had Jesus in my heart 85 years, going on 86 years. And he's never failed me once. And he's sweeter than the day before. And I love him with my whole heart. And he's beautiful. And he's lovely. And he's caring. And when I'm wrong, he tells me I'm wrong. And he convicts me of sin in my life because he loves me and cares for me. And he's going to be with me until I come to the end of life. And then he's going to take me to be with him. He'll do the same thing for you. You say, well, you're a preacher. That makes a difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference. It's whether I stayed out being a sheep herder, it wouldn't have made a bit of difference. The thing that counts is my faith in Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And when we have that wonderful word of God, then we want to preach that word and be faithful in preaching that word. That's what Samuel did all of his life. When he had to go to Eli and tell him about the death of his sons, he told him that. When he had to go to Saul and tell him about the death of his sons and losing his kingdom, he had to do that. When he had to go to Israel and tell them they were sinning and that God was going to punish them, he was faithful. I'm going to tell you that's what every pastor ought to do. We ought to preach that word of God. Every pastor needs to do that. Some people will not like it. Some people get angry and they'll get upset and they'll get offended. Well, too bad. We need to preach. We need to preach. And you preach against some cherished sin. You teach about hell and they don't like that. You hit some of the things that they're doing that is sinful and wicked. You preach against selfishness. You preach against hoarding money and spending too much money on yourself. You preach about giving 10% to the Lord, and they don't take it nice lightly very sometimes. Sometimes they're glad to hear what God wants to say, but sometimes they get nasty and they get their nose out of joint. Well, that never bothered Samuel. He preached it whether they liked it or not. And that's exactly what people want. I'm going to tell you, I've discovered some things. People are going to preach. They're going to search out that pastor where that preaches the truth, that preaches the word, who preaches no matter how deeply it cuts, no matter what it's about, no matter if it touches the secret thing of their heart, the sacred thing of their heart. They may not like the message, but I'm going to tell you something I found out in 72 years of preaching. There, when they face death, when they face eternity, when they face God, when they know they're in that final breath, they want to find a man that's preaching the Bible, preaching the word. That's the way it was with Saul. In his final breath, in his final battle, he knows he's going to be going into battle, and he wants some help. And who does he want? He wants Samuel. Samuel, who told him your sons are going to die. Samuel, who told him that God's going to take the kingdom from you. He didn't like that kind of message. But when he came to die, he wanted Samuel. And that's what people want. They want to know, what does God have to say? They may not agree with you, but when they face death and eternity in God, I'm going to tell you it's a whole different story. And I'm just asking you today, Samuel had that closeness with God. Saul didn't have it. Do you have it? If you don't have the closeness of God, you can have it right now. And I'll tell you how you can do it. You can tell, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. And I ask you to come into my heart and wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, God tells us, in Isaiah tells us in the Old Testament, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. All of those sins, those wicked things you've done that you're thinking about, will be all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus tells us, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're all gone. you pray that prayer. And if you pray that prayer, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send a gift to us if you want to on the ChristianWorshipHour.com internet. We can get it in your currency. We get it from Norway, get some Philippines, different parts of the world. You can send a gift and we'll get it in American currency and we'll pay our bills. And you say, well, what if I send money and you buy a sports car with it? I'm 95 years old. You think I'm going to buy a sports car? I might buy a wheelchair. But we're a member of an organization, an international organization called the International Council for Financial Accountability. They check every penny we get and they check every penny we spend and they do it with a fine-tooth comb. And so I hope that you'll support us and help us. We've got that on the screen there. Now I'm going to pray for you. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Syria. Dear Lord, I'm praying, first of all, that all this multitude of people will open their hearts to you and others will come back to you. I'm praying for the young people who have their troubles and their decisions to make. And I pray for those on beds of sickness and the shut-ins and those who are lonely and those who are weary. And dear Jesus, I'm praying for our persecuted church in Syria. And I don't pray for those who have given their life because they're in your presence. They wear the martyr's crown. But I'm praying for the wives. I'm praying for the parents. I'm praying for the little children, oh God. And just help them on, watch over them and take care of them. I know you will. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been wonderful being with you, Nan. We're counting on your letter. We're counting on your gifts. Those of you on the short wave, it's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We don't have any other source of income except what we get from God's people. So now we're praying for you and we're rejoicing with you. And we'll be back next week, the Lord willing. Maybe the Lord will come before next week, and wouldn't that be something? And he'll come. I don't know when. Could be. Could be before I get home today. But he'll be there. But either way, we'll be with the Lord. So God bless you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God loves you. And we're praying for you. You pray for us. And God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.